A couch potato warning is in effect as DirecTV transforms Thanksgiving into Streamsgiving. DirecTV's got free TV nationwide. With a heavy front of 60-plus live channels and a steady stream of streaming apps, conditions are perfect for nonstop entertainment. So hunker down on the couch and sign up for your free trial of My Entertainment from DirecTV. I'm going to watch some free TV.
Start streaming My Entertainment from DirecTV now at streamsgiving.com. My free is free. Paid services. 5-day free trial, then auto-renews monthly. Cancel anytime. Temporary credit hold may apply. Restrictions apply. See streamsgiving.com for details. AI produced.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
To the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel, and thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the connection section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Now let's get on to the Art Bell iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews. If you go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review, you will get a shout out on the following week's show. And this week's shout outs is Me112SLKX288, ENE2009, Mo Carnivore, No Arminian, William Chilton 1928, Rianne 6, Yavi Bear, TCZ04, Raw Opinion Podcast, TGAR, RaskKit69UK, Jay Hamo the UK, JPD6261 from Australia, Ashley Lee from Australia, and S Tina HEJ from Sweden. We got a Sweden in the house today. Thank you very much for going to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating or review. It means a lot to me and it definitely helps support the show. Now moving on to the Patreon shoutouts. If you go to patreon.com/theconfessionals, that's patreon.com/theconfessionals, you get a shout out in the following week's show when you sign up to become a patron. So this week's shout outs is Travis P, Patrick, Jessica A, Carolyn P, Evelyn M, Nana U, and Luke G upgraded to the groupies. Thank you very much for going to patreon.com/theconfessionals and signing up to become a patron. Now this week's show, we have two interviews this week. One, we have Tony coming up, and Tony shares an experience that he had out in the woods with a light that was just very odd. And then we have Carrie coming on, and Carrie shares a lot of random ghost activity that she's had in her house and just different places. She had a lot of different stories to share, so we're going to get into it right now. right. I have Tony on the line here. Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So we scheduled this interview, I think it was a while back, probably in February or something like that. But, you know, your interview or the email that you sent me, it did catch my attention. And we were talking about a little bit here and stuff. And I just wanted to get you going on it right away. But share with the audience, you know, I know you were in the woods and I think you said you were hunting. Share with people, you know, what you were doing, what time of day it was, and walk us into, you know, that experience you had, just an odd experience.
Okay. Yeah, I can go back. I don't exactly know how many years ago it was. Since it wasn't really a, I kind of prefaced it this way, it wasn't really a scary experience. So I kind of just, I kept the experience in my mind. Other than just being odd. So it's probably maybe 3 or 5 years ago, but it was around, it was in the winter during hunting season here in Arkansas. So it's pretty cold. But I had to say it was around December, January, something like that. It was gun season. So I knew I had to, go out early in the morning. So what I normally do when I go out, I live about an hour and a half from where I go deer hunting. And so I usually have to get up really early to drive out there, and I can stay, but I normally don't like staying out there. This is family land where I hunt. So I don't have any reason, you know, to not stay out there, but it's just a preference of mine. I just like to leave and go when I please. But I got out there extra early that morning. It was kind of an awkward, not really awkward, but it's not usual for me to get out there early. Usually I'm running kind of late on those mornings because I like to sleep in. But that morning I got out there about an hour and a half to 2 hours almost before daylight. And what I normally do is if I get out there too early, I'll just sit in the truck. And what I've done that before, I've fallen asleep and woken up, you know, before right at daylight, and it's already too late to kind of sneak out in the woods.
Right.
And you can still go out, but you know, it's just kind of, you've kind of messed yourself up for the hunt. So
for sure,
what I did when I got out there, I had gotten my sleep the night before really good. So I wasn't sleeping when I got out there. So I went ahead, got all my stuff together, and I walked out to my spot, and I was hunting on the ground in a little fold out chair, just in a little crook of trees right on the edge of a old garden spot, probably about 30 yards by about 50 yards. Not great big, but not real small, cut out of some trees. This night was real dark, no moon and no clouds. It was clear, but it was real, real dark, just stars. And out there where she's at, this is my aunt. It's far enough out where there's no city lights that get out there. So if when you're out there, if there's not a porch light on, it's dark. So I get out there. I don't use a flashlight when I walk out. If I do, it's every 2 or 3 seconds, just so I don't step in a hole or something. But I'm not trying to scare off anything that's out there. So I go ahead and get out there and get set down because I want to get out, get silent in the woods. So if I scare anything, it comes back, or, you know, whatever's coming through the woods just keeps on coming. And I want to kind of preface the story too. Also, is I've been out there. She's been living out there for as long as I've been alive. So I'm 33 now. She's been at least 40 years. And I've been going out there my entire life. And so I've seen all manner of aircraft, helicopters, airplanes, civilian, military. I mean, you name it, I've probably seen it at least once. I've even seen the Blackhawks that fly at night with the sheriff's looking for dope. I can just about tell you what it is. And I've seen every manner of civilian aircraft, even flying in the early stuff, flying in at night, or, you know, flying in early in the morning, you know, right before daylight, landing at the airport. And they've got a certain path that they fly when they're landing at the, I think it's called the Clinton Airport now. And the military doesn't really fly at night. So, you know, if you see one at night, they're doing something with the sheriff's department. But anyway, so I just say that to say, if I see something at night, generally it's either police or civilian. But anyway, so I get out there that night. It's calm. It's quiet. Nothing's moving in the forest. I don't have any kind of feelings about anything. I'm just sitting there kind of looking at the sky. Bunch of stars out. It's a beautiful night. Beautiful time for deer. That's what I'm thinking, you know. It's cold. It's perfect time of day. Perfect time of year. And I'm just sitting there. I probably sat there for 30 minutes, a good 30 minutes, maybe a little bit more. And I'm just kind of halfway, and I'm not asleep. I'm kind of halfway staring because I can't see in the dark in the woods. It's thick enough trees where you can't see when it's dark. You can't see much past your face, really, or past the end of your gun. But you can see up past the treetops because it's, you know, the sky. And I'm just kind of looking up. And right out of the corner, if I'm staring at the horizon, I guess you could say, at my 2 o'clock, not quite 3 o'clock, a flash of light about, I'd have to say about as fast as, you know, those old wind-up cameras you could buy from the Walgreens?
Yeah.
You know, the little stamp that you could still develop. I don't even
know. The ones that are disposable?
Maybe. Yeah, the disposable cameras. Okay. It's about that quick, maybe just a little bit slower. So we used to take those things, and when they run out, you could smack them on your hand and make them flash, just messing around with them. We used to make them do that. And it was about that fast. It was slower than that. So it lasted longer than that. And it was that kind of bluish white color. But the thing about it was at least 30 feet up in the trees. Cause these trees were tall pine trees. It was a pine thicket. It was not really thick cause my uncle had cleared it out, but it was pine trees, but they weren't real thick, but they were real tall and they were about 35. It was about the top of these trees. And it was no more than 20 yards from me. It was close as far as the distance that I could, what it seemed to be from me. Up in the trees, like below the tops, but kind of like in the, because when a pine tree grows, the top, as young as these are, it was really just the tops of the trees. Didn't have many needles or branches, anything below much of the top. And that's kind of where it was, about 30 feet up. And it shone, and it was about a bluish white color, kind of like an LED light. And what it did is it lit me up and like right around me, but not the whole forest. Not like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen a police helicopter's searchlight, like when they're looking for a fugitive or something. I've been lit up by one of those before down here where I live.
What were you doing?
It'll turn the. Yeah, they weren't looking for me. They weren't looking for me. I know they weren't. It has happened before. I tell people that, and they go, "Well, who are they looking?" I don't know who they were looking for, but it lit the whole truck up like a daylight. But this light that happened to me in the woods just lit up basically where I was sitting. It lit my gun up. It lit me up. I'm assuming it lit the chair. I mean, it just me and the area where I was sitting, but not the immediate surrounding area. Like past me a foot or so, it was still dark. And then as soon as I got out, front door, I didn't even get the F out. It was off, and I've got a hold of my gun, of course. And my first thought is, what was that? And I looked up to where I, I knew it was, or where I thought I knew it was, and there was nothing there, but, you know, what I could make out just barely of a tree that was closer than I thought it was. In fact, I couldn't judge the distance. The tree that I could see was closer than it was, if that makes any sense. And then aside from that, I just sat there because I didn't want to run. I didn't think there was anything coming for me, but I also didn't want to run, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't feel like there was something. I also want to be like, well, if that was somebody in the tree, which it was sounded stupid to me at first, because I know there wasn't anybody in that tree, because it up that high, those trees are really thin and they're not supposed to be anybody out there, but you know how stupid people are.
Right.
Can't nobody climb up that tree anyway. Two, if it's something weird, I'm going to see it here in just about 2 seconds anyway. But I sat there till daylight, which was only 45 minutes, you know, later when the sun actually started cresting. And then I pretty much got out of there because I really didn't want to sit there anyway. But I don't really know why I didn't take off running. I guess because it was dark too. I didn't want to take off running in the dark. I really don't know why I didn't run. I mean, I didn't take off. It was not being scared, but kind of not wanting to run. It was kind of weird. I don't really know. But that's pretty much the end of that. What happened?
Okay. Well, I mean, you said you weren't scared. And this flash of light that you saw, it wasn't directly above you, right?
No, it was like a 45-degree angle. Maybe more. Maybe not right above me, but not. Maybe not 45, but not right above me, though.
All right.
It was at an angle.
But you said that it seemed like the light was directed at you, right? Because, like, I mean, a few feet away from you, it was dark, right?
Yes, it was directed at me. Yes. Okay. It was like if somebody was in the tree. If somebody was in the tree pointing it at me, they were pointing it at me. Now, there was nobody in the tree, but yes, it was directed at me.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I mean, we were talking a little bit in the pre-interview, and you mentioned just very briefly how I think you even said it matter-of-factly that it wasn't a UFO experience. What do you think happened here? I mean, do you have any idea what happened with this flash of light if you don't think it was a UFO?
Well, I say that. I don't really know. I always say that because I don't want to be 100%. Because I didn't see a UFO. You know, I didn't see the little disc shape object. I didn't see the cigar, you know, like most people say. And I'm not really a skeptic because I don't know. You know, I've seen the little dot in the sky that you don't really know what it is. Well, somebody says that's a satellite. Well, you know, I don't know. I've never seen anything strange. The only thing I've seen is that flash in the sky. So that's why I was saying in the pre-interview, I didn't really want to call MUFON or whoever. I didn't know, you know, if to call them because, you know, I'd say it's an alien spacecraft, or, you know, could it have been somehow an airplane turned, you know, from a distance and shown through the trees? But that's never happened that way before. You know, in my mind, I couldn't zero it with a plane. You know, I'm sure it wasn't, but I didn't want to say, oh, 100% it's a UFO. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say, no, it wasn't, but I'm going to say, it's hard for me to say without seeing some sort of craft. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I've had some weird experiences in the woods myself. I mean, I've talked about it before on the show where, you know, I was actually at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference and I went on a hike at night with three other guys. And we saw this glowing light in within the canopy of the forest. That it was up a hill from us. And it was just like pulsating in and out very slowly. And we just stand there watching it. And then it just pulsated out. Like it just faded away and it was gone. It wasn't moving. Yeah. It was very stationary and it was definitely on the inside of the canopy. And it was a very fascinating experience. And I always call that an orb. Would you say that this was an orb? I mean, maybe an orb, but I mean, a lot of people think that orbs are UFOs, unidentified flying objects. So I guess you'd have a hard time saying orb as well, wouldn't you?
Well, no, I mean, I guess I could say maybe an orb. I guess because it flies, it could be a UFO, but I just always chalked it up as a flash. I don't really know. Whatever, whoever wants to call it, whatever.
I got you. You know,
strange is what I call it.
Yeah, definitely strange. Definitely strange. Let me ask you, was there any missing time?
No, there, as far as during that day, no, I didn't miss any kind of, I didn't wake up, you know, missing, like, where did that hour go? The only thing I just can't remember, you know, what year it was, or what exact month it was. I just chalk that up as to not being a like real traumatic experience. But I don't see that as me going, I can't remember, what happened, you know, as far as missing an hour of that day or 3 hours of that day. No, I don't have any missing time like that.
That's good. I mean, I always hope that somebody would say no missing time. I mean, it makes good for a story, but for you personally, it's always a good thing.
Right.
Oh man. But, you know, I have a good friend of mine. He was on the show, or was he? No, he wasn't on the show yet. Anyways, he's a good friend of mine. His name's Doug Waller, and he's written several Bigfoot books. And last time I saw, actually 2 times ago when I saw him, we went out to dinner after a conference that him and I spoke at. And it was him, me, my brother, and his assistant, Shauna. And we were all having dinner and they were talking about his new book that he was going to be coming out. I think he was talking about writing a book that didn't really have maybe as much to do with Bigfoot, but more just odd things. Long story short, he starts telling me about how somebody that they were camping with, she had got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and the forest was pitch black and there was coyotes going off or something like that. So she took her phone out, and turned on like the video just to kind of, shoot video, getting the coyotes going off and things like that. And something, yeah. I think she took a picture for some reason, like it was completely blackout. Like there's no lights, nothing. It's just completely dark. But she decided to take a picture as well. And so she took a picture. And when she looked down at her phone, the forest that she took a picture of was all lit up. And it wasn't a flash because she said the flash was off. I saw this picture myself, and this picture shows light being beamed down into the forest. You can literally see these streaks of light shining down through the branches of the forest. It lit up the whole area. The whole area was lit up. You could see everything. But when she took the picture, she didn't see the flash of light. She didn't see that. It was completely dark the whole time. But on the camera, it shows just the whole area is just lit up. And I saw the picture myself. You can clearly see that the area is being lit up from above. And it's just...
That's crazy.
Right? It's fascinating. And I wonder if you would have been able to get a picture of that before, you know, obviously you didn't know, but if you would have been able to get a picture, I wonder what it would have looked like, you know?
I don't know. It almost looks like a... it almost looked like a stage light coming on and going off, like a really bright stage light or something like that. But it would have been so fast. I mean, you'd have had to been out there videoing as it was that fast, or just constantly snapping pictures or a trail cam or something with a video. I don't even think a trail cam because I have several trail cameras that I don't think it would have caught how it wasn't like so fast that I didn't notice it, but I don't think a trail camera would have caught it going off that quick, on and off that quick. But I a video would have caught it, but it was just crazy. You know what it was. I don't know. And the only reason I said that I didn't really want to say it wasn't a plane at first is because I've seen them with what I call their headlights on. It's their landing lights, like turning and stuff like that.
Right.
But they've never been close enough where you could say that, oh, they've lit me up, you know, and it was a completely different style of light. So that was just my rational, you know, mind saying, it's gotta be something that you've seen before, you know? And I know it wasn't a car because you can't see cars from the road. The thicket's so thick of brush and briars and stuff on the ground that I don't, you know, just your rational mind tries to figure out things and you just go, well, you get to a point, you just go, I don't know, there's a flashlight.
Yeah, it is what it is.
you just got to move on, I guess, you know, as long as something doesn't happen to you, you just got to move on. And at least I just needed to tell, I wanted to tell somebody because I thought it's kind of a cool story that you can tell your buddies, or you might tell a girl every once in a while, and maybe she might think it's cool. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I think it's just an interesting story. It's definitely something out of the ordinary. And, you know, it just shows that there's really, this world is full of mystery still, and we haven't figured it out yet. And it takes people like you coming forward and just sharing your experience. And that's what you did today. And I appreciate that because, you know, what you just shared sparked the memory in my head of what Doug Waller shared with me. And it's not the exact same thing, but it's definitely something similar where maybe she didn't see the flash of light because it happened so fast, like you described. And so she didn't see the flash of light, but maybe it did happen and she just so happened to take a picture of it. I don't know, but I just find it interesting that, you know, out in the woods, a lot of weird, strange things happen, and people just you can't explain it sometimes.
The woods are a strange place.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, like you said earlier, I mean, it didn't scare you or anything, so I'm assuming you're still hunting, you haven't changed any of those habits and stuff.
I didn't this year because I was busy, but no, it didn't knock me off of anything like that. No,
that's good. Now, I know that you listen to Sasquatch Chronicles. Hypothetically speaking, if you ever come across a Bigfoot while you're hunting, are you ever going to go hunting again?
I don't know. I guess it really depends on what it does. You know, that show, it's a really good show. Some of those stories are really interesting, and the way the experiences they have, especially the hunters, the way it really shakes them up, you know, it makes you think, man, what would happen if I saw one of those things out there in the woods? And I don't know. I like it. I like to go, and, I just can't imagine, seeing something like that would make me want to quit doing something that I like, especially as much, and this, I say this, as much time, effort, and really resources that you put into doing something like that, because it's not a cheap thing that we do.
Sure.
To go out there and do all that, especially a lot of people put tons, I don't, I'm kind of a cheap hunter. a lot of people put a ton of money to go out there and do stuff like that. And, to just quit, they really saw something, you know, out there. And a lot of those stories that he puts out, that he does, some of those encounters, especially with hunters, are very, aggressive. And I guess that's what it, you know, what makes them not want to go anymore. But I guess for me, I'm the type, if it's aggressive with me, I think I guess it was the show with that you did where he got in real close and that guy just leveled him with that shotgun.
Yeah.
You're not gonna mess with me. you leave me be, I'm gonna leave you be. But you know, I'm not just gonna go out there looking for no trouble either. But.
Sure, sure. No, I get it. Yeah, I totally understand it. I mean, I kind of feel the same way. Defend yourself if you have to, but
right.
You know, I just real quick, it reminds me of a story that was told to me in Cannonsburg a couple of weeks ago when I spoke at that conference. And this guy, we did a town hall meeting, that's what it was. And this guy shared his experience where, and he lived right around the corner, and he hunted locally and stuff, and he was hunting this area his entire life, and he never had a problem. He never thought about Bigfoot, nothing. And long story short, he had a lot more details than what I'll be able to remember. He shot a deer, and he couldn't track it down. It was gone. And so he went back to his stand or whatever. Yeah, I think it was his stand. And he wound up shooting another deer, and he tracks that one down into a valley. He calls his friend and to help him, to come help him, because he had to be able to get it out of there. And so they go down there, and I'm not a hunter. Actually, I'm going to actually try to get into hunting within the next year or so. I think it's something I want to try.
You'll be hooked.
I know. But he was talking about how he was walking down this valley and he saw his bolt stuck into the ground. I'm not sure what that means. Something to do with the bow, though, I guess.
Yeah, it's a crossbow bolt. Yeah.
Okay. So like he said, it was like jammed into the ground, and him and his buddy were just like, that's weird. You know, they didn't do that. And, then they came across the deer. The deer wasn't eaten. The deer wasn't gutted. The deer's legs weren't broken. Head wasn't broken or twisted, just that the body was torn in half. And
wow.
He said, he's looking, you know, at me, and he's like, what can do that? What else can do that? And I'm like, man, Bigfoot. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, like, that was Bigfoot, man. Like, what else does that? I can't even do that. You know, like he said, it was just,
right, yeah,
it was just torn in half. It, like you could see the right. Skin, the body was stretched until it was torn in half. And, and he took it as a sign of something telling him, get out of here. This is my area.
Get out. Yeah, exactly.
So, interesting stuff, but that actually, I think he said that he doesn't hunt anymore because of that or something like that, or he doesn't hunt those woods now or something like that. But, you know, every hunter's going to react differently when it comes to that stuff. So, fortunately for you, it was a flash of light, not a Bigfoot.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that goes back to the violent part of it, you know, the violent reaction, I guess, if you want to go back to a predator protecting its area or whatever, they go to 10, you know, they crank that up to 11, you know, to get you out of their area. I guess you would, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would think so. So, well, Tony, man, it's always nice to talk to another Tony. Before we get out of here,
yeah.
when it comes to your experience, just real quick, what's your gut feeling? What do you think happened that day? Do you think it was just some kind of like swamp gas, or do you think it might have been a UFO? I mean, or do you just reserve yourself to not have an opinion?
Man, I'm kind of, I really think it was something looking at me, but whether or not it was a UFO or maybe it was an orb, just taking a look at me, I don't know. That's kind of what I think. It was some sort of orb or UFO, something just taking, maybe winking at me or something. I don't know.
I got you. Well, now I have another question for you.
And okay.
What's the difference in your mind? Now, there's no right or wrong answer to this, but what's the difference in your mind between an orb and a UFO?
Well, I guess what I've always considered the UFO being the craft, you know, like you would see, that's not terrestrial necessarily, or maybe a terrestrial craft that's not a human craft. And then an orb maybe being some sort of, maybe the being itself in a form that we don't understand, or and or being just something completely different that we don't really understand. I don't really connect the two necessarily, but I could be wrong. I know that orbs float, but I don't know that they're flying. Other than being flying objects, I don't really consider the two being linked necessarily. I mean, they could be linked, but I don't consider them a machine as much as I consider a UFO like a machine.
That's what
I've always, you know.
Yeah. Totally get it, man. Well, Tony, I really appreciate being on here tonight and sharing your experience, man.
Yeah, man.
It's awesome.
I appreciate you letting me share.
For sure, man. If you ever have anything else, just let me know.
I will, man. I surely will.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, that was Tony. Thank you very much, Tony, for coming on the show and sharing your story. I really do appreciate it. And next up, we have Carrie coming on. And Carrie is going to be sharing some of her haunting experiences that she's experienced throughout her whole life. And we're going to be doing it straight from the graveyard. Let's get into it. Okay, today we have a great guest coming on. We have Carrie, and Carrie is live from the graveyard. So how you doing, Carrie?
I'm good, thanks. How about yourself, Tony?
I'm doing well. Now, you're up in Canada, and you know, you said that your husband doesn't like this stuff, so you decided to leave the house, and you're going to be doing this in the graveyard. So we have a paranormal show coming up here with different ghostly stories, and you're talking in the graveyard. You're braver than me. You're braver than me.
I thought that after I got here, I thought, what am I going to be bringing home? But,
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. But if anything does happen, just stop what you're saying and tell us what's going on around you. We want to know, okay? A live look. So you have a lot of different experiences here, and they're kind of like really a little bit all over the place. I mean, it really kind of, in your email to me and stuff, you said that things really started happening when you're 2 years old. Now, when I was 2 years old, I can't remember a darn thing, but I know people like you because my wife is like that, where she actually remembers things from when she was like 2 years old. I barely remember anything from my childhood. So, you know, I'm very interested in hearing some of your experiences. So just kind of take away from us and just share with us what you got going on or what you had going on in life up to now.
So it did start around when I was 2 years old. I was the person with invisible friends. I had invisible kitties all the time. They followed me everywhere. At night, I would insist my parents put them in my closet because they kept me up all night. If they didn't put them in the closet, I would be the kid that was calling for them. They're annoying me. Get them out of here. I can't handle them. And they all just thought it was imaginary friends. Looking back, I think it was so much more than that because I continued it on for so long. And I was very adamant waking up in the middle of the night. These things are bugging me. I mean, when you're two and you're groggy in the middle of the night, you're not usually thinking about your imaginary friends if they're not really there, is my opinion. So I'm convinced it started right from that age. I had a couple memories from the time I was around the age of 8 to 10. A few times in the middle of the night, I'd go running into my brother's room half asleep, telling him, move over, I can't sleep in my room, the ghosts are bugging me again. And I always made it back to my own bed before morning, before anyone realized I was out of mind. And you just brought this up just a couple of months ago, and I said to my brother, oh, that only happened a couple times. And he was in disbelief. Like, he right off the bat said, it was a regular occurrence. It happened almost every night. I can't believe I've blocked that much out of my mind, that it's bugged me that much that I didn't think of it for so long. So I find that really interesting that for a couple of years, it was almost every night and I only remember bits and pieces of it. And then to continue on, my mother was a very devout Catholic. Ghosts and demons are not something we could bring up or talk about, but she believed in angels and stuff. And her father passed away when I was in grade 5, so I was about 10. And she had this ability to say, Dad, give me a sign. The lights would go off, the lamp would flicker, there would be a knocking sound, snow might fall off the roof. My grandpa always answered her instantaneously. And it always baffled me how she could believe in that and not in ghosts. So how is it that I'm having these experiences? She is too, but only with her father just not recognizing. My grandpa used to work up in the Northwest Territories, and he believed in aliens. He was quite certain he'd seen things in the field at night, and he would always tell my mother you know, if the aliens come to get me, I'm going. And she lived in fear as a child that she would come home from school, her dad would be gone, and didn't even have time to leave a note. But again, this lady couldn't believe in ghosts, but she believed in aliens. And it was very conflicting growing up. Like, well, Mom, you said you believe in this, but you don't believe in that. Because I firmly believe you can't have the light without the dark. There has to be that balance. But again, no ghosts, but she liked that I went to psychic. I had a lot of intuition, probably about puberty, I would say this. It was intuition. There was a boy in my class. I had a crush on him. I could figure out every morning what he was wearing to school. I could wear something similar. It was the 90s. It was the time of Guess and Nike and Adidas. And everyone just wore t-shirts and jeans. And we had a lot of the similar things. I could tell in the morning what he was going to wear. I knew last minute if he was going to change what he was going to wear. And it always drove him crazy. Like she said, are you reading my mind? And for a while, I kind of thought, well, am I? Because how do I know that he's wearing that orange shirt tomorrow? I just knew. I knew last minute if he changed, I would put the red one on. And it never got us anywhere. We never entered into a relationship. Looking back, that was a good thing. But just little things like that. And all of my aunts were like that as well. The phone could ring. My mom, my aunts, they could all say, that's so-and-so calling. This is before the days of call display. My mom could always figure out who it was calling and what they needed. And I asked my grandma, my maternal grandma, about some of this. And she was the one that told me that her mom was a psychic and could read TVs. And she said, there's no doubt that I probably did pass down some of the generations. Up until last year, my parents still didn't have call display. My mom still had that ability to say, that's so-and-so calling. And I also had that ability, but only on their phone, probably because my phone is call display. But at my parents' house, the phone rings, I could still tell you who was calling and what they wanted. So that was a very common occurrence, just knowing what something was going to happen, but not until it happened. So like another example, it's so hard to put my fingers on some of them, but there's examples where a lot of times somebody would say, guess what? And the idea would come to me instantly. I'd blurt it out and they'd look at me and say, how did you do that?
Wow.
I don't know how I did that. And like I said, it was never far in advance. It's not like I knew weeks in advance or days in advance. It usually was in the moment. And I don't know where that came from. And it would drive my friends crazy. Often, like, music was a big thing and still is a big thing to a lot of us. And my friends would say, I heard this new song. They'd play it for me. I'd start singing to it, never heard it before in my life. And they'd say, how do you do that? I don't know. I just did. My friends and I used to go to... there's knocking on the window and there's no one around me. Sorry. My best friend and I always went to psychics whenever we had the chance. Every psychic I went to always told me I had several angels with me. And I was also told that angels are usually people you knew in your lifetime that have already passed. My friend was always exasperated. What about me? Do I have any? To which every psychic would say, well, you've got a couple, but she's got the whole flock or the whole choir. And my mom loved this. She'd always say, you're so protected. And then she'd start guessing who they were. One psychic picked up that I would sometimes see things, and she said I was susceptible to the dark side, and that the reason I had so many angels was in order to keep the dark out and the light in, or else it could consume me. She had asked if I had ever seen flashes of blue, and I always had at that point in time. I had even gone to my eye doctor because I was concerned, was it epilepsy, was it a brain tumor, what was going on? She said my eyes were fine. She couldn't find any reason why I was seeing these flecks of blue. And then it was the psychic that told me that the flecks of blue are the angels coming to protect you from any dark around you. So I found that really interesting as well. Now, my maternal grandmother had sold her house to my cousin and moved into a retirement home. My cousin redid this entire house. To our knowledge, nobody has died in this location. My cousin tore it down, built it, keeping the same layout. And after she moved in, things started happening. I would often babysit her school, her children. I was in high school and university. The boys were just under 2 years apart. And there was one night I had just put the baby to bed and the wind came up. And they had this tree that was 100 feet tall at least. They had talked to two different companies to try and take the trees down. Nobody had insurance to cover a tree of that magnitude. They were scared they weren't able to get it down without hitting the power lines, the adjoining neighbors, the house, anything. And the wind came up and I was sitting in what they called the den and this tree was swaying. And then all of a sudden it kept going to the right and it wasn't coming back up and it floated down like a feather. This 100-foot tree took out wires from the house It didn't damage the house in any other way. It didn't damage the other house on the other side. It didn't damage any vehicles. But it was as if it was put down like a pillow. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The whole philosophical question, if a tree falls in the forest, does anyone hear it? I had every window open. You couldn't hear it fall. It was that soft. And I kept thinking, well, by this point, my grandpa had passed. Was he helping it down gently? There was other things that happened in that house. I've stayed many nights there, and it's always in my cousin's master bedroom upstairs. The door would slam constantly. Like, you'd prop it open. I'd put garbage cans in front of it, shoes, and that door would just slam on you no matter what happened. In the middle of the night, I'd wake up. There'd be this bubble-ish entity hanging over me, not letting me out of bed, and it just hung there, and it was the most scariest thing I could feel. It was all the hairs in the back of your neck up, and I was calling for my angels to send them away, as the psychic had taught me. And all of a sudden, this face came up in the window, and he was a 1940s person. He had a big black mustache, rounded top hat, black coat, collared white shirt. And whenever he came to the window that night, that entity would stop harassing me, but he wouldn't go away. It would just kind of hover there. And then when that head went away, it would start a train of terror of freaking me out again. And that head would come back and it would stop. And I told my mom about this head, and I explained and described in great detail. And she said to me, well, that's Mr. Emery. That's who originally built the house for grandma and grandpa. She recognized the person right away. And so she felt he was coming back to maybe look over the house. And when the youngest child was about 7, it was around 3 o'clock, I think, every night, my cousin had said he would come running into her room, freaking out, screaming, crying. It was like clockwork. Something was bugging him. And she had called me, and I had just seen the psychic that had told me about the dark and stuff. And she had given me a medicine pouch, is what I think she called it. It had a bunch of sage and some other blessed herbs in it, and rocks and crystals. And it was supposed to keep the bad stuff away. And so I gave it to her begrudgingly because I was using it for myself. I thought, well, this poor child needs it more than I do. And after that, they never bugged her youngest child again. But one night she did hear him talking, and she didn't want to freak him out because she has also had experiences in the house. She didn't want her kids to be scared to sleep. And so she asked him the next morning what it was. And he told her that it was our grandpa that came to visit him. He had never met our grandpa, which would be his great grandpa. He had passed about 10 years before he was born. And he said, grandpa just asked if he liked living in this house, if he liked playing hockey, and all sorts of questions you would ask a 7-year-old. And he was completely fine with it and didn't even really seem to question why someone was in his room in the middle of the night talking to him. So, and that's the only experience we're aware that he has ever had. He doesn't really say anything else like that. Now, there's other times when, let me just go home over here. So we had a feeling this ghost traveled because it bothered me. It bothered my cousin. And next door, my cousin was house sitting for who he was the fire chief at the time. And he had his phone line tied up to the fire hall. So in event emergencies, it rang at both places just to make sure there was coverage. And the fire hall called her one day to go check their phone line because it was off the hook and not working. And she went into their kitchen to find the portable phone at the time, the cordless, sitting upright in the kitchen on the floor. Off the base. There's no way a cat would have knocked it off the counter perfectly to stand upright and be turned on. And a few other things started happening in that house when she was house sitting. The clocks were changing time, the batteries were coming out, and the people accused her of letting her children play in the house when they got home. And then when they went to look, they realized, well, hey, these clocks are on a cathedral ceiling. Nobody could reach them without a ladder, and she would never have let her 7- and 8-year-old play in there unattended, obviously. And when I started bringing these incidents up at work, another person who lived in the same small village said they had a similar occurrence in their house where they were making supper one day and they had an electric frying pan full of the supper. Too early to turn it on, they sat down for a visit. The frying pan kicked up and flew into the wall, flinging the meat and the whole meal everywhere. Neither one of them were near it. Neither one of them had touched it. And then their daughter started confiding in them, saying that there was an old man sitting in her rocking chair every night when she was sleeping, freaking her out and keeping her up. So I started wondering, does this ghost travel? Because the more people you talk to in this little village outside of my hometown, the more people had experiences with this ghost. So I did a little research, And there was a place called the Sugar Shack. And apparently it was in its glory in the 50s and 60s. And it was a dilapidated house that people went there. They did drugs and God knows what else. Everyone said it was the darkest place to go to and that they're sure people died there. And they were wondering if all of these spirits were still kind of trapped from that location. Now, whether or not that's true, there's not a lot of written history for this area, so that's really hard to find. But where it gets really interesting more so for me was in December 2007, I moved into my own apartment in my hometown. And before I moved in, a guy had died in the building. At first, they had suspected homicide. There was blood everywhere. They could not figure out what happened. It turned out he had a brain aneurysm. He bled through his ears and mouth, which made the mess. But when I moved in December, by February, things were happening in my apartment. My paternal grandma had bought me this really nice ceramic heart-shaped dish for Valentine's Day, and it was white, had little red hearts all over it. I kept it on my end table with some candies, and I came home one day from work, and it was shattered, still sitting in the place on the table with the candies on top of the shattered mess. Now, my table was a glass coffee table. So when I cleaned it up, I noticed there wasn't even any scratches on the table, as if someone, you'd get it, you know, when you move the dish too hard or you slam it. My table was untouched, which I found rather odd, but, and I had no pets, so I thought, okay, well, maybe it was something was wrong with the ceramic in it, maybe it just cracked on its own, and I left it. Well, then in the middle of the night, I started waking up to my bathroom taps and my kitchen taps running full blast with water. And in my bathroom, it was both, it had a hot and cold handle, and both handles, both knobs were turned full blast. The kitchen was on, and I first thought, well, okay, maybe I didn't quite turn them off tight enough. So the next night, I was using both hands to tighten them as hard as possible, and I was still waking up in the middle of the night to the water running full blast. I couldn't explain that, because when I used two hands to tighten those taps, I needed two hands to turn them back on. It wasn't something that just slowly came loose again. And then things started picking up. I'd come home from work and my shower curtain would be ripped. Sometimes it would be just ripped off of one ring. Sometimes I'd come home and the whole shower curtain would be ripped off every ring and hanging in my, and laying in my bathtub. I went through a lot of shower curtains. I could not figure out what was going on. I started panicking, thinking, has someone got an extra key? Nobody had lived in my apartment for several years. They had never told me why. And then they had renovated it for me to move in. So I thought, well, if they haven't changed my key, what if someone's playing a prank on me? So a friend of mine had told me to put scotch tape on the outside of my door in the shape of like a 90 degree, almost like an L, from the door frame onto the door. So when you would open the door, you could see if the tape had been cut open. And I tried it a couple times to make sure that, yes, the tape would actually break, and it did. I left it. I did it that night, put fresh tape on. When I got home, it was about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I think, and I checked the tape. The tape had not been cut, but I could hear noise coming from within my apartment. So when I got into my apartment, I went to find the source of the noise, and it was my alarm clock ringing. Now, I'm terrified of alarm clocks. I wake up to music on my cell phone. If I have an alarm clock to a buzzer set, I will wake up every hour trying to beat that noise because I can't stand waking up to something startling. I had never, ever had that alarm clock in use, and now all of a sudden it was buzzing. I had no idea how long it had been buzzing for. It's never been set. That was where I was thinking, okay, something's really not right here. And then at night, from time to time, I would wake up to something. It was a finger poking me in my lower back, kind of like a tap, tap, tap.
Wow.
Right back by here. And it was kind of where you kind of shake your shoulders, pull the blankets tighter, and just, okay, I'm not feeling you. I'm just going to go back to sleep. Until I was sick one night, I had taken some cold medication, and I have bad sinuses, and I'm quite certain I didn't have a fever. But I started hallucinating, and there was a statue in my room, and it was the spitting image of Medusa, snakes in her hair, but stone just staring at me. And I kept screaming at her, go away, leave me alone, leave me alone. And she would go nowhere. And my friend had called. She'd been on a date that night. She wanted to tell me how it went. And she said every word I spoke, she could not understand. She said they were words. They were not making sense. They weren't strung together properly. She was so concerned. She actually called my parents to come and check on me. I have no idea what I said to her. I'm not bilingual by any means. I don't think I would have been speaking another language to her, but to her, it wasn't English. To her, it wasn't anything she was understanding. And that's always bugged me, that something could take over. If that was what was in my room, was it making me talk? You know, that yeah. I really struggle wondering when that could have been. And the taps would still continue to keep running and going. And so I reached out to one of my good friends. He's Chinese. And he told me a story of his childhood, of some of the mysterious things they had encountered when they were little and how his grandparents had to ward them off. And so I asked him for help. And he offered to ask his mother. He was very superstitious. And the next day he came back with a response that quite shocked me. He had told his mother all of my experiences. She was very angry at him and accused him of bringing bad energy into their house by speaking. She was so upset. He said that she went to temple, which she hadn't done in about 20 years. And then I felt terrible. I thought, oh my goodness, have I passed this on to them? But he didn't give up on me. He went to Chinatown and he asked questions around on how to ward off spirits. And people had suggested that I put mirrors outside, because if you have a mirror outside, it traps the spirit and it can't enter your house. The problem being in an apartment building, I'm in a hallway. We couldn't hang things outside in the hallway. And then my other fear was, am I just going to trap a bunch of spirits and they're going to be stuck in this hallway? So I was worried about the fallout from that. So eventually him and I did some research and we found a few things I could do. What I ended up doing was I burnt the candle, I confronted the ghost, I acknowledged it, and I asked it to leave, saying it could not reside with me anymore. And after that, that one went away. And it was, it shocked me how simple it was, because I don't think it's always that easy to get rid of something.
Yeah.
You know, and in 2006, I had lived in my paternal grandparents' house. They had moved into a retirement home. They didn't want to get rid of their original home, just in case they wanted to move back and didn't like it. So I said, well, I'll rent it. Let me live here while you decide. And it worked out great, except there were a few times all the cupboards would open in the kitchen. And not just one, it was like three walls of cupboards. Every cupboard would be open. No drawers, just the cupboards. And you walk in, you go to the kitchen, get something, go to the living room, think, oh crap, I forgot my glass of water, whatever the case was. Go back and every cupboard would be open. And that used to bug me, because then I was concerned, well, is this a poltergeist? I had asked my grandma, and she said the same thing used to happen to her all the time. Now, my grandpa had built this house in the 50s, so nobody else had lived on the land or in a house in that location. It was a newer area of town, a newer development. So that, I don't know where it would have come from.
Yeah.
You know, that was the other thing. And after I moved out, my cousin bought the house and moved in, and she moved her baby in. And at this point, our grandpa had just passed. And she said there were times when she would look down at her baby, and her baby was giggling and smiling at the only way grandpa could ever get him to do that. So she was certain that he was coming back, because a few years later, when the baby was now a toddler, she said at night, you would hear footsteps going from my grandpa's favorite chair, because it was all of his old furniture, going into his bedroom and crawling into bed. And then when that happened, her three-year-old would come running into her bedroom every night like clockwork. So we had wondered if at that point, if grandpa had come back to the house. But when I was having issues there, grandpa was still alive. So that didn't really solve my problem. Starting in 2011, I started working at our local hospital and care home. And a lot of people said they had issues, mainly the dietary and housekeeping staff. So they had issues with an old man that lived there that was very mean to them. He was a ghost and they didn't like cleaning in certain areas. I never saw him. What's interesting with me is places that are active for everybody else are not usually active for me. So for me to walk in and everyone say, oh yeah, I always see a ghost here, there's a good chance I'm not going to. I tend to have issues where maybe not other people do as a whole, maybe one or two, but not as a whole. And one day I walked into work and we had a Ukrainian resident that was on her way out. I knew it was only going to be a matter of days. And she said to me as I walked through the door, don't laugh, I'm dead. And she wasn't dead when I left work yesterday. So when I got to my desk, I asked the night staff guys, he's so-and-so passed. And they looked at me like I was crazy. No, she's still here. I said, oh, okay. And I could hear the voice again, don't, I'm dead. And so I said to the ladies, like, are you absolutely sure she's still with us? And they said, of course we are. Then we had a day staff coming on because you have two night nurses, two day nurses kind of thing. And one of the day nurses was over listening to this all. And she looked at me kind of curiously. She waited until the night staff left and said, I'm going to go check her. And she went to the resident's room, and sure enough, the resident had passed, and had passed probably within a couple hours.
Wow.
So fairly recent, but not recent enough that they probably should have checked her. And so I had known right away. And so she'd asked if people, if me and the activity director would go sit with her until the family got there. And I said, absolutely. And the healthcare aide came in because you try to make them more presentable when their family comes in to say goodbye. And
sure.
She went to check out, I believe it was a red nightgown. And the lady said to me, not that one. I want the blue one. And I had to say, oh, sorry, she wants the blue one. And I was waiting for them to kind of say, well, what are you talking about? But they nodded in understanding. And the girl said, yeah, we've all had experiences here. I don't know if she's telling you what she wants to wear. She was very feisty when she was with us. And so she was communicating through me that way. And it was about a year later when her daughter was bringing up the day she died, because her daughter also worked at this location. And I told her my story, and I was kind of hesitant. You never know how some people are going to accept this. Some people don't like to hear about it at all. Some people are really into it. So I proceeded with caution, and I told her the story. And by the time I was done, she was crying, and she thought that was just amazing. She was just like, wow, that's amazing that she came through like that. And I was kind of happy I shared it with her, because I was really tempted not to. And so another time at the hospital, I was coming down a hallway when I saw an older gentleman going to be checked into our admitting room. And so they have little cubicles for the patients to go into if you need to go to the emergency room. That's where you give your health card and all of your information. And it's semi-private. And I saw him go into the cubicle but kind of stumble. He was probably about 80 years old. And he was dressed in like janitor gear, like those utility blue pants kind of thing, and a plaid jacket or a plaid shirt and a jacket. And an old blue hat, and he stumbled. And I thought, well, it's quicker for me to get there than the girls in the bidding to have to come all the way back out the door. They're able to come out and come around. By the time I got to the cubicle, which never left my sight, there was no one in there. He was nowhere to be seen. And the girl was sitting there looking at me, like, oh, can I help you, Carrie? What happened to the gentleman? She's like, there's been no one in here for a half hour.
Jeez.
So
that's just chills, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, and like one thing I do currently see, like, it's been pretty quiet since I met my husband. Like I said, he's really not into this. He firmly believes if you open that door, then it has a negative impact on your life. And I'm not going to say bad things happen, but you just have negative experiences because you're allowing it in. And since I've met him, he's been so strong with that, that I feel like that's what has decreased a lot of my experiences. All I really see now, we have one apartment. We own some businesses and we travel a lot. So we have a few apartments and houses. And in one apartment in a business of ours, I see shadow things all the time. And they're not people. They're definitely creatures. They're the size of my cat or dog. And you think it is the cat or dog until you see the cat and dog both lying next to you. They always come in the entranceway door. It's just constant, constant, constant shadows. In our main house in our hometown, there should be stuff happening there. It's the oldest part of town. Our house is from 1924. We literally lived in what was known as the red light district for the miners. Our town is built on mining, and this was the worst area of town to be in back in the 1920s and 30s. And I've only had two happenings in this house, and it was right after I moved in with him. I was doing laundry downstairs one night, and there was someone tapping me on the back. And each time I turned around, there was no one there. I bent over to put the laundry in, and I kept getting those taps again. But there was nothing there. And then one night I came out to go to the bathroom, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was a man in my living room. And he was tall. He had an old mining gear. He was definitely from the 1920s and 30s, very shaggy looking. And then he disappeared. And it reminded me of the time when we were in high school, my friends thought it was always fun to use the Ouija board. That is not fun. I went to visit graveyards at 11 o'clock at night. Again, it wasn't fun for me. We had gone to the drive-in. We had seen a movie. I said, let's do a tour of the graveyards. Well, when we left the graveyard, we had a guy in the back of the back of the truck, like the box. it was a ghost. He followed us, and I knew his name was Steve. He told me his name was Steve, and he just kind of thought, hey, these girls put up with their dreams. And I was mad because nobody else had these issues. And when they dropped me off, I had to say to him, you need to stay here if you don't get to come. And they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, nothing, because I knew they didn't see what I could see, right? I thought, whose idea was this to go to Australia? I said, Lord, people. But it's just always been little things like that. I mean, my husband and I travel a lot all over the world. We've been to Sarajevo down Snipers Alley. We've been to Prague, to London, to where there's lots of fighting. And wow. I don't seem to have issues when we travel, which is amazing. Except when we went to Cuba. And we went to Cuba in 2013. And one night I walked into the lobby of our hotel and there was three, I don't know if they were rebels or soldiers for the opposition or whatever, but I could see them hanging in the lobby of the hotel. And I just went quiet the whole night. I just wanted to puke. It was the worst negative energy I could ever feel. And I really struggled going into the lobby after that. And I thought, I can't. And I know Cuba has had a lot of revolution, a lot of fighting. And I had to avoid that at night just because I thought I couldn't sleep after I'd seen that. And sometimes it just kind of catches you off guard when you do and don't feel the energy. Sometimes I feel like I should be feeling something or seeing something. I don't. And then times when I do, it's kind of least expected. And back to even my grandma's house, I was telling my cousin, this week, telling her about this whole new world of podcasts. And I asked how she's been handling herself in the house lately. And she said, something is back. She said her dog has been waking up every night at 3 a.m, barking in a corner. And when she woke up last week, there was a man standing in her room, but he disappeared as soon as she woke up and she couldn't get a good enough glimpse of what was going on. So and that house is still active, just bumping back to that.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That... What do I say? I mean, your whole life is just jam packed with stuff. And, you know, it's one of those things where some people experience things in bite sized pieces. They really don't have a ton of experiences, but the one experience they had is very memorable to them and very jammed with detail because it was just such a shocking thing for them. It seems like for you, this is so common that it's very normal. It just seems like it's like, yep, this is my life. This is my life.
Pretty much. And I have to say, like, I'm very lucky knowing the older I get, the scarier I get, if that makes any sense. You know, when you're young, I mean, you always reward things fun at the time, watching all those things fun at the time, but then you realize that there's actually more harmful things that could be coming through. You know, it's not just the friendly ghost that's turning my water on. I'm lucky there's no demons or other being entities or anything physically harming me because I have read stories and talked to people that have had that. So in that respect, I'm very lucky that this is my norm and it's not too scary.
Right. And, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I was very curious and I'm glad you went into it a little bit here. So you do distinguish between, you know, like say a ghost versus demonic activity. I mean, for you, like they are separate things. Like cause you mentioned earlier about the poltergeist stuff. How do you view all this stuff? I mean, do you view that like there are just different levels of spiritual dimensions or the spiritual entities that, you know, come into our lives in this dimension? Or how do you view this stuff? I mean, after your whole life of experiencing it.
I think they're all their own individual. You know, once that psychic had told me that I'm susceptible to the dark and then learning all the different dark things that are out there, I think when you open that portal or that door, there's all types. Is it a spirit, a demonic? Is it an entity, a poltergeist? I think they all have their own being. And I think it just depends where you are, perhaps in your life, and what type of building you're in at the time that's housing it. You know, like I think part of my thing is, I don't think they're necessarily following me from location to location. I think I'm finding openings at these locations and then they're coming through.
I got you. You know, like one of the things that you mentioned earlier and stuff about the whole, I think you said it was phone calls where like you knew who was going to call, what they wanted kind of thing. And even like with your boyfriend, about how, you know, you knew what he was going to be wearing, things like that. You know, it's weird because I've talked to several people who had experiences like that in their life that where they were or are able to, you know, predict things. And even I had experiences like that when I was a kid where it was just like, it was like trying to learn how to trust a feeling I was getting. And I remember doing it, and I said this on another episode as well, but it is what it is. I'm one person. You're going to hear repeat stories. But I remember when I was a kid, I was sitting on the couch, and I was young. I mean, we were in my old neighborhood, and I just had this feeling like the phone was going to ring. And I remembered having that feeling before, and things would happen. And so I was like, I'm just going to do this. I'm a little kid. I don't know. I'm not trying to make a spectacle of things. I'm just trying to see for myself. I stood up. I walked over to this isn't the era of landlines. Okay. I actually had to go to the phone. It wasn't in my pocket. Okay. But I get up and I walk over to the phone. I reach my hand out. And just as my hand's over the phone, it rings. And so in one motion, I just pick up the phone. I answer it. I remember, I think I handed it to my mom. My dad, I turn around, my dad's sitting there, and he's like, I'm pretty sure he asked me this. I have to ask him if he remembers this, but my story is this, that he asked me, did you know that was going to ring? And I just looked at him and was like, yeah. And I just went and sat down on the couch again, and he's just like, okay. He just started watching TV again. I don't think he wanted to touch that, but my dad listens to the show now and stuff, so I mean, I know if he hears this story, he'll confirm or deny with me. But you know, it's very interesting. It's just very interesting because I don't seek this stuff out. I'm a Christian, and I was raised a certain way, very conservative, and you know, like I dive into this stuff for knowledge, and I try to understand everybody's experiences and trying to put the puzzle together. I don't necessarily look to, because some people they actually look to communicate with spirits, and they actually look to go on ghost hunts and see if they can communicate with things. It's just not my thing. I don't really care to do that. I talk to enough people who had those experiences. I got my fill, you know what I mean? But it's just one of those things where it's a very complex issue. And I don't think anybody truly has the answer. I think it's very layered. And that's why like putting pieces together through shows like this, I think is very important.
Absolutely. And I mean, just like you said, you don't necessarily seek it out. It just happens.
Yeah, exactly. It just happens. Now, let me ask you something. Your grandfather, he wanted to be abducted by aliens. Like, that's crazy.
He did. Like, he said the stuff he saw up in the Northwest Territories in Yukon left no word of a doubt in his mind that they'd seen flying saucers and spaceships. He was convinced with all of his heart. Again, he was one of the most devout Catholics you could ever meet. And he believed there were aliens. And I still couldn't believe my mom believed there were aliens. Because the way he would tell her the stories of everything he'd seen and experienced, and like, yeah, there's more of this universe, he'd say, I have to go find out. If they're going to take me for a ride, I have to go. And I thought, wow, I don't know where I feel in the whole alien bit, but that always shocked me coming from him. He was a very conservative. He was very French, very very Catholic. Yeah. And that was always the curveball he'd throw you.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I hear people like that, you know, like most people don't want to be abducted, but you do hear people that are, you know, kind of, they actually enjoy the idea of aliens and what it would be like and things like that. And whenever I hear of people like that, have you ever seen the movie Independence Day with Will Smith back in the 90s?
Yeah.
I picture, and it's just like an exaggerated thing, but in my mind, every time I hear people like your grandfather, I picture the woman that's on the roof during the invasion, and she has a sign, and she's like, "Take me!" Like that's
that would be him. Yeah,
I mean that's what I picture. You know, like because I don't understand it. I don't understand it because essentially, alien abduction is kidnapping, and I don't view that as a good thing. You know, like taking somebody against their will. But with your grandfather, it wouldn't be. He'd be like, "Yeah, let's do this."
Yeah, no, he would go for sure. And I'm thinking like all the medical experiments they probably do in humans if they get them. And I'm like, oh God, no, I couldn't.
Yeah, that's it's just crazy to me, but it's fun because I enjoy talking to different people and, you know, your experiences, your grandfather's ideas, like you get a picture that, you know, people are just that everybody's different. And I think that in a world where communication is so easy, it's very hard at the same time to communicate with people effectively. And we see that in our world where there's so much tension, even though we all can communicate so fast and easily, we're miscommunicating, you know? And I find it very interesting and awesome that I get the chance to talk to people who through communication like this, and I get to experience and take in other people's viewpoints on a very neutral level. And I personally get a chance to further understand humans, you know, just the race of humanity and how we all are so different. And for me, it's great. It's enlightening. And it makes me feel like I'm growing as a person to understand people in general. You know, we don't all have to agree. We don't all have to feel like we all are coming from the same direction. But I feel like understanding human beings is one step closer to maybe peace a little bit, because right now we live in a very tense world. And I just find it very ironic that never before in human history has communication been this easy. You shoot a tweet, they get it. You shoot an email, they get it. You call them on Skype, they're there. It's so easy, but yet it seems like we're miscommunicating even as easy as communication has become, we're miscommunicating even more. And it's very crazy.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that on so many levels.
Yeah. So Carrie, listen, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories and stuff. I mean, it was a jam-packed information, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been really nice to be able to talk about it, because there's not a lot of people here I can talk about. And it's been great, like you said, being able to find all this online communication, knowing you're not alone. And you're not the only one seeing or hearing these things. And like you had said, I think it was in number 84, I was just listening with Scott, that you're not crazy, you know, and it's just something that happens. And like he said, too, it becomes an obsession. Like, I also get into watching all of these shows and finding more information. Now, these podcasts, like, I can't put them down, you know, and it's just something that, like, a relief. Like, finally, there's more out there for me than just what I'm experiencing.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. And that's why I'm so happy I have this show that I have, and that others have shows like mine, where it's just very neutral, open, and people can kind of just bang ideas around and stuff. And I find that fun and interesting when we can do that without disrespecting each other. And that's why, you know, I really try to, you know, because I don't agree with everybody that comes on the show as far as like the way they view things and stuff, but I can still respect them, and we can still hold a conversation and try to hammer out details, you know. It's just
absolutely.
I love it. I love it. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, there are three things you can do to help support the show. One, go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Two, go to patreon.com/theconfessionals. That's patreon.com/theconfessionals, and sign up to become a patron to help support the show. And three, you can go ahead and share the link to the show that you're listening to right now around social media. That will help expose the show to an audience that didn't know about the show beforehand. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Bye.
I put the team on my back. I do it all for the family. Everyone think they can rap. Nobody ever gonna challenge me. Starting my week on a Sunday. They think they can make it in one day. I just been ready to take off. Waiting my turn on the runway. Never be turning around, never be turning around, ayy. Never be slowing it down, never be slowing it down, ayy. I keep my foot on the gas, I keep my foot on the gas, ayy. I know I'm never gon' crash, I know I'm never gon' crash, ayy. Never be turning around, never be turning around, ayy. Never be slowing it down, never be slowing it down, ayy. I keep my foot on the gas, I keep my foot on the gas, ayy. I know I'm never gon' crash, I know I'm never gon' crash, ayy. Everyone making excuses. I've been busy making music. They just wanna see me fall off. Know that I'm never gonna lose it. Got addicted to the chase now. People saying that I changed now. Know that I'm never gonna stand still. I'm treating the game like a race now. They really been carefully watching me. They treating me like I was calories. But really they can't get enough of me. They treating me like I'm a salary. They bringing me up in discussion. They wondering how do I do it so casually. I celebrate all of my victories. All of a sudden they all gonna be mad at me. Damn, I don't have time for concern. I just gonna live and I learn. Trust me, I waited my turn. Leaving my dream in return. This is a given concern. People been listening.
listening over the world. I've been making that money while I be asleep. I never rented the money, but now all the money been too busy running to me. Hey, I put the team on my back. I do it all for the family. Everyone think they can rap. Nobody ever gon' challenge me. Started my week on a Sunday. They think they can make it in one day. I just been ready to take off. Waiting my turn on the runway. Never be turning around. Never be turning around. Ayy. Never be slowing it down. Never be slowing it down. Ayy. I keep my foot on the gas. I keep my foot on the gas. Ayy. I know I'm never gon' crash. I know I'm never gon' crash. Ayy. Never be turning around. Never be turning around. Ayy. Never be slowing it down. Never be slowing it down. Ayy. I keep my foot on the gas, I keep my foot on the gas, ayy. I know I'm never gon' crash, I know I'm never gon' crash, ayy. I'm not doing this for the money, so don't misinterpret my last line. The weather ain't always been sunny, but I know that I'm gonna still shine. You never gon' make it till you got the power to go and develop a strong mind. Cause everything happens where you don't expect it, the journey ain't given a deadline. I'm going till I got a flat line, connecting with people like landline. I've been blowing up like a landmine, I put myself on like a combine. Knowing the way that it go when I'm ready for more, I don't wait on the sideline. I'm feeling like 2011 when Drizzy was dropping them hits like it's headlines. I don't understand what I can't do. If I cut you off, then I had to. I'm staying up late like it's fast food. The life of a rapper who in school. I don't wanna hear all the people who've been trying to give me advice. If you haven't done it before, then don't give your opinion about what you think I should go do with my life. Ayy, I put the team on my back. I do it all for the family. Everyone think they can rap. Nobody ever gon' challenge me. Started my week on a Sunday. They think they can make it in one day. I just been ready to take off. Waiting my turn on the runway. Never be turning around. Never be turning around. Ayy. Never be slowing it down. Never be slowing it down. Ayy. I keep my foot on the gas. I keep my foot on the gas. Ayy. I know I'm never gon' crash. I know I'm never gon' crash. Ayy. Never be turning around. Never be turning around. Ayy. Never be slowing it down. Never be slowing it down. Ayy. Gas, I keep my foot on the gas, ayy. I know I'm never gonna crash, I know I'm never gonna crash, ayy.
Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. I bought a motorcycle. Started hanging out with drug dealers, but like rich ones. And we flew helicopters. I ended up taking down a communist regime with a band of rebels. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. I tossed it, giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. I'm alive today, but jacketless. We'll buy this jacket again soon. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Thank you for listening to Amazon 5-Star Theater. Looking for unforgettable gifts this holiday season, like a jacket that becomes your whole personality? Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.